Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It is myself, Niler 9, and Andrea Cleary, of course, is here as well. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
There's always a slight second where you just like, you leave it hanging. You're like, is she here?
I want
She holds up the mug as if everyone can see you.
I want the listeners Cheers. To feel a sense of anticipation for my arrival to the podcast, and I hope that comes across. Good morning, everyone. It's very early. I mean, it's not that. It's 9:20.
They don't need to know about
in the
that.
Morning.
They don't need to know about that.
This is my fault. I'm sorry, but Niall's already up because he has a baby, so I'm the sleepy one. But that's fine because Niall is going to tell me on this episode lots of news that I literally haven't had time to read about or know anything about. So this is ideal.
Well, I think there's a theme of kind of truth to power in this week's episode overall. And I thought there was a lot of things happening in the last week that would be worth discussing. And as I started to talk about it or think about it a bit more, I realized that there's quite a lot of things that would be worth talking about briefly or in a longer form. Well, first of all, the Choice Music Prize happened last week and Lancome were deemed the worthy winners for the Irish Album of the Year. A very interesting night overall. I don't think anybody was too surprised by the winner, but of course, Lancome gave a very considered and well-spoken speech at the end after Denise Chyla came out and talked about community and art and lifting each other up and all, so it was really good. But Lancome's speech talked a lot about, I'm actually going to play a bit of it here.
Of people who may or may not have a conscience to begin with, and there was a lot of despair in there. Maybe we can put enough pressure on the government to introduce some actual meaningful sanctions on Israel. No, they are massive tactics, and if the pressure raises high enough, they're going to have to do something about it. But otherwise, there's other ways to get things done. There's occupations, direct action, boycotts. Went to the supermarket, find every Israeli product you can find, fuck it in the bin. It's a good start anyway, because I think we all need to do exactly what we can, because in years to come, your grandkids are going to be sitting on your lap, and they're going to be going, Nana, Granda, what did you do during the Palestine genocide? And you are going to feel like an absolute prick if you can't tell them that you did everything in your power to stop this horrendous genocide. And we don't want you to feel like pricks. We want you to feel happy. And we want the Palestinian people to be able to feel happiness. We want them to experience justice, equality, self-determination, independence, and all those other basic human rights that apparently are afforded to everybody else in the world. That's all we have to say. Thanks for the award. Free Palestine.
So as you can hear there, very much instructive, useful information rather than just an empty statement talking about what we can do. And I think that was really important to hear that. their support for Palestine obviously was no surprise considering what's happened in the last few months with Lancome. They had a gig cancelled in Germany in November, I believe, because of their support for Palestine. And they obviously played that big Three Arena Irish Artists for Palestine gig as well. The biggest, probably the biggest single charity event in this country that's ever happened. So no surprise there. And obviously, you know, like what's going on in Germany in terms of gigs is in a whole other matter, which we may discuss later at some point, because it's an ongoing, there's an ongoing program between Ireland and Germany called Zeitgeist Ireland. And let's just say the German promoters do not want to book artists who are showing support for Palestine. And that is creating for them a headache, but for Irish artists as well, a very weird, strange position which in which showing some political support or support for people who are being killed unfairly is deemed, what is the word, unsuitable or
controversial.
Controversial enough that you won't get a booking for a gig. So, I mean, this is happening throughout dance music as well, and especially in Berlin, where, you know, a lot of dance music and electronic music is at the heart of what happens there with Berghain and all of the industry that happens around it. So that's really interesting as well. But yeah, the Lancome's kind of acceptance speech did speak to a wider thing that happened on the night. And I guess there was a huge contrast as well. And I think anyone who had been aware that U2's Achtung Baby had been named Classic Album Winner of this year, with Dave Fanning coming out to kind of present the award briefly, it was an interesting time because Lancome were on the stage and ready to perform. And there was a lot of boos and cries of Free Palestine during Dave Fanning's speech, which clearly rattled him a little bit. But I'm not sure if he really knew what was going on or why people were giving out. I thought it could have been as simple for a lot of people as being just like, Bono has not said anything on Gaza or Palestine or shown any support or solidarity. So I think that's what where most people...
I might be completely wrong on this, but I saw a headline, something, I do not know anything more about it than this, but something to do with U2 or Bono and like Israeli investments, something like that. I don't know. But I mean, I think that I think that headline came across my retinas at some stage last week. So there might be more to that story. There might not be, I don't know, but it's very possible that it's something to do with
Israeli funding from an Israel bank.
Yeah, something like that.
For the hotel.
Yeah.
To finance the sale of the hotel. So
yeah. Yeah. So I imagine it's that kind of thing. And then Dave Fanning, of course, just he told everyone to shut the fuck up or something, or?
Yeah, he kind of said, just shut the fuck up and listen to the lads. Shut the fuck up and listen is what he said, yeah. So it just came across as really like, all right, this is in the moment. Like, the contrast between all the Irish musicians in the room and Adam Clayton and The Edge accepting their awards at their Sphere in Vegas was quite fast.
Oh, I didn't know that. So,
you know, it was something else. It was really something else. But really, an aside to the main thing that was happening, I think Lancome very much a worthy winner on the night for Irish Album of the Year. CMAT performance, a solo acoustic performance, was up there as a great, really, like the biggest cheer of the night almost was when she came out on stage. And then John Francis Flynn, Soda Blonde. There were some great performances on the night, absolutely. Rachel Lavelle, oh my God. Of course, no surprise to us, really. If you're following 909 and the podcast, you know exactly what we think about all of these artists. So, and we literally did a podcast about it a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, congratulations to Lancome, who did a great job.
So gorgeous.
Now, an artist that I saw mentioned very briefly afterwards are Kneecap, because somebody, I can't remember if it was on our Discord or somebody else, said, can't wait for the Kneecap acceptance speech in 2025, because the Kneecap have a debut album out on Heavenly Records in a few months. It's in May. And of course, this is the West Belfast trio have really blown up in the last few months, because they have that film that's been in Sundance, that's been picked up by Sony Pictures, kind of a augmented reality, almost biopic about their lives and through Irish language and rap and all this
still kind of stuff. No idea what to expect from this film. Like, the more I hear about this film, the stranger it sounds to me. I can't wait to see it, but like, they're literally like, anything where they're talking about the film or describing the film or other people are describing the film, I'm like, what is this going to be? Like, it sounds so interesting. I can't wait for it. I just,
yeah.
I was never like, I've always kind of liked Kneecap for their, for how they speak about the Irish language and how eloquent they are. But I was I haven't really been a major fan of their music. I just don't find myself listening to them, and that's fine. I like what they do. But the more and more I kind of hear about this album coming up, I'm surprised that I'm actually as excited for it as I am. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, they're hooking me in. You've charmed me, as David Brent says.
What I love about these lads is they are not afraid to speak their mind. As we saw last week, first of all, on the Late Late, after the recent controversy around the Irish Women in Harmony, members of the Irish Women in Harmony group being asked to change out of their clothing. I think there was a Gaza t-shirt with a love heart on it that somebody had asked on the group was asked to remove before performing, and people basically in the group complied, but there was, you know, issues around that. They did perform a Sinead O'Connor song. Much has been talked about this before, how, you know, it's incongruous to Sinead O'Connor's legacy to tell Irish women who are getting up on a stage how to see, how to dress and how to act and how to speak and what to talk about. So, I mean, that was a big issue. The following week then, Kneecap were on The Late Late with Patrick Keelty, and having previously promised that they wouldn't say anything or wear any pro-Palestinian clothing, DJ Mowgli Bap, or DJ Provi, took off his jumper and showed a Palestinian football jersey, which prompted Patrick Keelty to talk about kind of like had to bring in, oh, we are also, you know, solidarity to everybody who's affected by this kind of thing, both sides thing. So Kneecap.
But then crucially, the members of Kneecap were given space to talk about their views uninterrupted, and then Patrick Keelty afterwards just says, okay, let's move on to the music now. So there's no, I mean, Ellen Coyne pointed this out in an article for the Irish Independent. There was no repercussions for what they did on the Late Late Show. They were actually given, after the both sidesness of Patrick Keelty, they were actually given space to talk, and it's just such a stark contrast to what happened the week before. And yeah,
indeed. So,
and I mean, if what happened the week before hadn't happened, Kneecap mightn't have known, you know, to kind of hide their symbols and stuff. So like there's a knock on effect with these things, you know, and
it was
disappointing. For
well,
Morty,
it got to the point then where, you know, Kneecap the following Friday, like just this weekend gone, performed on US TV for the first time on Jimmy Fallon, performing their song Sick in the Head. I mean, that is an amazing achievement anyway for an Irish band to be playing Fallon like that suddenly, but so quickly after everything. Obviously, Sundance has helped here, but it just shows you that the band had to put out a statement, felt like they had to put out a statement saying that they couldn't show, because it was the show was a pre-record, they couldn't show solidarity with Palestine. And they said previously, we intend to use our platform in every time we will always use our platform to speak up for Palestine. So the expectation on them now is that they said, we will always use our voice to speak about the genocide being committed against Palestinian people, sadly being facilitated by the US. Sorry, there was another thing that about the choice as well. It was like, there was something about, which I'm still not sure of, but what I can gather is this RTE thing. There was a lot of talk on Friday. I was quite busy on Friday, so I wasn't able to really look at this. And it was like RTE was being accused of censoring the speech, Lancome's acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Now, my understanding of it, and maybe you can tell me if this is otherwise, right? So it went out live on the radio, Lancome's speech in full. Often what happens is, having worked in a radio station before, I realised what's happened. The show went long and a 15-minute buffer was allowed for the listen back to like take over in case, to include that part in the recording. And that's what generally happens. And the show went long, like Denise's speech was quite long. It was a good 10 to maybe 15 minutes. So like that does add up, and all these things add up. So basically then somebody, whoever, these, when you do listen back on radio, the recordings automatically are segmented, right? So that's what happens. So I'm not quite sure, but everyone was like, oh, they've censored, they've taken out the speech. No, I think as far as I'm aware, it was just in the next block, which happens a lot in like radio broadcasts and stuff. And then people took that to be, well, they're deliberately censoring Lancome. When
from what I
it
saw,
it seemed to be there.
from what I saw, RTE said it was a technical issue. So I don't know, to be honest. I haven't checked whatever the next program was, the playback on the next program, but it would, yeah.
Well, RTE actually had to put out a statement then on Friday saying that it was carried in full, the Lancome's assessment was carried in full, without any interruption. Audio files which allow listeners to listen back to the program are generated automatically, and the RTE Choice Music Prize audio file was pre-programmed to record up to 11:15, allowing for a short overrun. The full program as broadcast is currently being restored to listen back edition and will be available online. So just simply to me that sounds like a technical storm in a team cup. You're seeing things where it doesn't need, like, that it's not the problem.
But I suppose I can understand after the Irish Women in Harmony incident and after various other incidents,
but it's just
I can understand being on edge a bit about these things, but it is important to have the full facts, I suppose. But I mean, it's all very complicated.
I will say the Irish Folk Awards the previous week was broadcast on the TV, and they showed Eoghan Canavan's speech in full as well, which was very pro-Palestinian, so, and anti-Israel as well. So in fairness to them and whoever's in charge of those decisions, it's a case-by-case basis, it seems. That's why the Late Late stuff and all the kneecap stuff is so interesting. So the other thing that, I mean, kneecap, obviously on Jimmy Fallon then saying that they couldn't speak about what they'd like to speak about as a pre-record, those shows are very tightly structured. I don't think kneecap even got to speak on it. So I haven't seen the show in full, but it doesn't seem like they did. But then it was announced that kneecap announced that they were going to cancel all their shows at the South by Southwest Festival to highlight the unacceptable deep links the festival has to weapons companies and the US military. Now, as time of recording, the band Sprints have also cancelled, and I'm hearing rumblings of other Irish artists who are due to cancel their appearances at South by Southwest. This is a big deal. This has not happened before in our lifetime in terms of, I went to South by Southwest for 7 or 8 years in a row in Texas and around March, and this was never something that had occurred. Because the artists are saying there is a growing movement now about a coalition of artists and groups showing that in protest, asking artists to show in solidarity and cancel their performances because the US Army and the defense companies RTX, which are formerly Raytheon, Collins Aerospace and BAA Systems, are listed as either sponsors. US Army is listed as a featured partner with a page inviting people to discover the US Army's role in innovation, technology and national security. Collins Aerospace, which is a subsidiary of RTX, is also featured on the schedule. So
just like leave music alone. Like just like you've got like the entire world.
Well, I mean,
you've got
every other, a surprise.
But you've got every other avenue to advertise for your army or your weapons company or whatever. Can you just like leave South by Southwest alone?
Well, here's the thing. South by Southwest is a music festival, yes, but it's also a tech festival as well. So this is where this comes in. This is why it's...
So I guess that should be a red flag already.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, who knows what kind of investment is going... Well, they're showing you there what kind of investment. So kneecap and Sprints are two of the bands who have since decided to cancel their appearances at South by Southwest, knowing that kneecap are already in the US and almost like they're pretty close. They must have called it pretty close because they were over there to do so. So, I mean, this has all come out in the last week. Local group called Austin for Palestine called on South by Southwest to disinvite Raytheon, Collins Aerospace and BAE Systems from the festival and to reevaluate the inclusion of agencies in the Department of Defense in the events and discussions hosted by the festival. Fair enough. There's also some other artists that have cancelled, include Lambrini, Girls, Eliza McLam, Shalom, Mamalarkey, Squirrel Flower. There's not that many yet, but I'd be interested to see as the week mounts, which this episode takes place this week, essentially.
Okay.
Thursday, Friday. I think Thursday to Saturday, really, is when most of it happens in Austin, in Texas. Niall here, interjecting from a more recent present, just to update, saying that actually what's happened with South by Southwest is that all the Irish bands have now cancelled their South by Southwest performances. That includes 10 Irish acts who were due to play the Music from Ireland showcases. So there was two showcases in Austin, Texas this week, as there is every year. And every single one of those bands cancelled. So start with Kneecap, Sprints, Soda Blonde, Gavin James, Robert Grace, Mick Flannery, Chalk, Gurriers, Cardinals and New Dad cancelled. And then two other, the Northern Irish funded acts, that they would be on either the UK or PRS strand of funding, Enola Gay and Concord White, also cancelled and said they wouldn't be playing the festival. It's quite unprecedented that 12 bands from the island of Ireland would actually cancel this festival. It's a huge opportunity for these bands, a huge opportunity. You know, it's speculative, like all showcases. It's a lot of money that's gone behind it. I think it's really interesting that they have done this, a really big show of solidarity. Something that I didn't see coming when we talked about it on Monday. I'd heard rumblings of a few different bands, but all of the bands pulling out, considering that there's maybe like there could be about 1,000 bands playing Cypress West this week. So for 12 of the, I think there's about 80 bands who have cancelled so far from around the world. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting to see it happen. There has been a lot of support for those bands as well. So I think ultimately these bands are giving up their funding, right? So they're giving up their funding and they're giving up their potentially in the pocket for doing what's right here. As we said, some Music from Ireland who would have facilitated those shows have said that they support whatever decision they make. So the bands are actually making a joint statement at the two showcase venues this week, Thursday, Friday, instead in lieu. So I think a few of the bands had still traveled. It seems like Cardinals, possibly Enola Gay were there, maybe New Dad. I know some of the bands are actually on tour anyway. But yeah, look, the point is all of these 12 bands pulling out is really, really unprecedented. South by Southwest's response to the cancellations was truly a bit bizarre, to be honest. It was tries to use the criticism of the defense industry's involvement in the festival as an opportunity to discuss its innovation and how it brings forward ideas that shape our world. So they're like, what? So their statement actually said, the defense industry has historically been a proving ground for many of the systems we rely on today. These institutions are often leaders in emerging technologies, and we believe it's better to understand how their approach will impact our lives. Well, I mean, they're impacting Palestinian lives right now, shaping their world in much greater impact than anyone can possibly make about some sort of glib statement from Cypress OS. So really, very, very, very disappointing. I mean, Cypress OS was started as a music festival, became a music, film, tech and comedy festival. So you're really seeing the corporate arm of the army and the military industry and defense industry taking over that. There's also been criticism of Minister Catherine Martin, the Department of Tourism, Arts, Culture, Gaeltacht and all, who's in Austin and, you know, has expressed support for the artists who have dropped out. She said she had the utmost respect for the freedom of expression as artists and reassured them that she will use every opportunity available to make clear her revulsion. At the devastation that has been unleashed in Gaza, this is the kind of stuff we're seeing with Varadkar this week, where, you know, they'll make some strong condemnation, but they won't make any action. And if you are wondering why Catherine Martin is still over there on what she's doing, despite all the Irish bands, like I said, Enterprise Ireland are over there, Culture Ireland are over there. There's loads of different film and tech strands. Like, Cypress OS is big business, and that is why the army is sponsoring it. And that is why these 12 bands should be applauded and celebrated, because it is, again, the bands at the bottom of the ladder who have the least amount who are going to suffer from this, from making a moral stand. I applaud them all directly for, you know, they're taking a stance on this. It's so important to do that. There's so few of those kind of actions. Direct action boycott is something that came from Ireland. So, you know, here we have 12 bands who are really using it and using it effectively. And I can tell you, having looked at the stats on the website in the last week, it's, I mean, some days it's been up like 600-700% based on a normal day. So there really is a lot of impact. These actions of these bands have had a lot of impact in terms of visibility and solidarity. And that's what it's all about. Okay, back to the regular pod. Bye.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight.
Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The other thing I wanted to briefly discuss as well, because there was a really, it came out of nowhere for me. I'm a bit disappointed in it. We've talked a lot about licensing laws in Ireland and how we are expected some increasing legislation to be enacted by the Irish government. For some reason, Leo Varadkar has said that the licensing laws is unlikely to be reformed by this summer. This is again being kicked down the road every few months or so. The Irish government, somebody from the Irish government comes out and says this won't happen now this by this time, and then it's happening again. And he seems to be distancing himself, Leo Varadkar, from this legislation, saying he's been pressing Minister for Justice Helen McEntee to progress legislation. But at the same time, this is a man who, he's all talk about bringing in legislation, but he's also saying in the other side of his mouth, showing some caution about, you know, oh, well, this won't be like this won't be a wide ranging legislation, which it actually needs to be fundamentally to change our licensing laws in this country, as has been said before, have not changed since 1935.
Can I ask a question beyond. About this? Mm-hmm. I mean, could it be anything to do with the fact that our Minister for Arts, Culture, Heritage, Camogie, like whatever list it is that she has that she's in charge of, could it be that she's embroiled in this, you know, this RTE scandal?
No, I don't think so.
It couldn't be anything to do with that now.
It's a justice bill, really.
Right.
The legislation,
it's not an arts bill.
No, it's not. So, okay. I mean, we're really talking about, you know, a piece of legislation that needs to be pushed through by the Minister of Justice, who has said, and not only is like they said this, because, you know, the smart thing to do is to just bring in something, but they've showed their work and they've told us what they want to do. And now it seems that Varadkar is saying, here's what he said. For some reason, he was in Bucharest last week talking about this. We expect to be able to publish the bill certainly in the next couple of months and well before the summer recess. Whether it gets through or not is up to the Dáil and the Seanad as much as it is up to the government. The laws are not comprehensive reform of the licensing legislation they had sought, Varadkar added. Now, that is a big red flag for me. Don't know why he's suddenly saying that. It's something more bespoke, more targeted, and it's particularly around late license for nightclubs and cultural events. So we have in our cities and towns the kind of nightlife they have in pretty much every other European country, but we don't have in Ireland. You can't promise that and then say it's only going to be very limited. So I don't really know.
So when he says limited, is your inkling that it will be limited to like larger cities and it won't apply elsewhere, or what's your kind of
inkling?
I'm
reading that as it's only going to be a certain number of venues or places or times of the year. Even it could be so restricted that it may not be even possible.
Like, I see.
Culture night, you're allowed to do something late, but every other night, no. You know, this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because he goes on to say, I wouldn't want to create the impression that alcohol will be widely available in every pub, hotel and nightclub till well into the early hours of the morning. That's not the case. But at the same time, he says, we want to be able to have venues and nightlife, you know, just like you see here in Bucharest or Berlin or London or Barcelona or Lisbon or any other European city that Irish people have experience of, and wonder why we can't have it in this country.
Cities where famously they don't sell alcohol late into the night. Like, what does that mean? I don't want to create the impression that there's going to be alcohol on the streets at nighttime. I mean, can he just like put on his thinking cap for a second and think about the money we would make in tourism if more people could come here, if we had an actual like nightlife scene? Like, the money that Berlin makes in like just dance music tourism alone should be enough for Leo Varadkar to look at it and be like, we're missing a trick here.
Well, I mean, he's coasting in his job, I think, at the moment. Like, all this stuff about, you know, the referendum not passing over the weekend is showing how clearly out of touch he is with the populace as well, and the wording and all that kind of stuff, and the things that he said in the lead up to the referendum about care and, you know, the privilege, the bag of privilege off him, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
completely out of touch. So yeah, he's washing his hands of the licensing laws, which is really bad news for the likes of Give Us Tonight.
And I mean, we're having an election like what, latest next year. So like, he's not like, he could use this as an opportunity to, and I'm surprised he isn't, to secure a vote from younger people who are swayed more, or who are, you know, undecided. He's not acting, sorry, we're not a politics podcast, but like, he's not acting as though there's going to be an election in the next year. This is a very, very, very easy win for his party and for this government. And they're just not taking it.
But that makes me think that maybe that they're so scared of the anti-alcohol lobby, or that lobby is so strong that they are just going, well, we can't actually do much here. We can't
Is that lobby stronger than... You know, I mean, pubs and nightclubs and venues and musicians and artists. And,
are they doing it because it's not too hard? It's too hard.
It's too hard.
I don't want to do it.
I don't know. They did that referendum. Talk about. Anyway, again, not a politics podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, but that, I mean, the referendum became about a vote against the government in lots of ways as well, because there's a lot of people who have a lot of different feelings in the last couple of years, and who have a lot of the things that some of the no-no campaign was coming out about that was going to happen as a result is just wild.
Polyamorous immigrants.
Yeah.
That's what we're child voting marriage, for.
Euthanasia. This is what I was seeing when I looked at that no-no hashtag. Mm. And I think it's just, but it's also a vote against woke, which is just this like reductive, you know, term that's been used for anything that is, you know, I mean, it's like the, anyway, I won't, let's not get into too much about this family.
Famously woke.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, moving you know, on. It's just music. Like, yeah, there are plenty of reasons why. Anyway, to continue with the disappointment in, you know, what's happening, I guess we'll talk a little bit about, I mentioned, you know, we're talking, artists talking about truth to power. We're kind of reaching a tipping point at the moment. There's a lot of things happening. It increasingly feels like a tipping point in terms of music and finance and how bands make money. At the moment, you know, it's pretty much been established for 15, 20 years plus that the only way that artists can make music is through the live arena. But we've kind of allowed this, like, you know, we did a podcast about Spotify before where we talked about, you know, should we be using it? We as users, should we be more, this was a moral really argument or discussion about, because the likes of Joe Rogan are being supported and paid by Spotify. Should artists we love put their music on there? And this was the context of like the likes of Joni Mitchell and Neil Young, who pulled their music from that streaming service. And we've talked about that before. I mean, and I've talked about this. And just to be clear, I actually saw some criticism last week on Reddit of all places of myself talking about how I was like, he did a podcast about we should all leave Spotify, and obviously didn't listen to this podcast. And then, but he continues to post about, you know, Spotify and stuff. Like, and my point,
Niall,
was, and I respond, I remember
you criticize society and yet you are part of it.
Well, I mean, you know, as a music journalist, a music writer, somebody who listens to a lot of music, I really would be struggling if I wasn't on Spotify. A necessary
this is
the
evil, point.
You might say, right?
It's the fact, you know, that like,
and that's what all the artists
choice.
Are like as well.
We don't have a choice.
Artists feel like they have to be on Spotify, and maybe they shouldn't feel like that. But you know, that is the reality of the situation. You have to be where most people are, even if Spotify is showing that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be on there. Maybe you shouldn't be living here.
Maybe you shouldn't be living here.
So the most recent person to weigh in on this kind of debate about streaming being broken, obviously we discussed Broken Record, the campaign, maybe last year or the year before, about, you know, the campaign, streaming is broken because people aren't making money from it. Spotify had that change in their how they distribute payouts and revenue, is that any artist who had less than 1,000 streams would basically get no money. So raising the bar for the revenue as well. So of all people, James Blake has weighed in on streaming being broken, and he had a series of tweets last week where he talked about this issue. He says, something I keep seeing is that if you're lucky enough to go viral, just use the exposure to generate income some other way. Musicians should be able to generate income via their music. Do you want good music or do you want what you paid for? If we want quality music, somebody's going to have to pay for it. Streaming services don't pay properly. Labels want a bigger cut than ever and just sit and wait for you to go viral. TikTok doesn't pay properly and touring is getting prohibitively expensive for most artists. Brainwashing worked and now people think music is free. And by the way, since it's cheaper to produce fast synthetic music to drop on streaming every week to capitalize on the strengths of the model, watch how the model is preparing you for AI-generated music that pays musicians nothing at all. So, you know, I mean, I think the thing here is that James Blake, I read a piece here on First Floor, which is a Substack by Sean Ronaldo, a kind of dance music critic, really saying musicians are fed up, and even when the perpetually mild-mannered James Blake is exasperatedly posting about the depressing economic realities of a music industry dominated by streaming and social media, it seems clear that the current system is broken. Blake may not be a superstar, but he's no new newcomer, nor is he someone whose work resides far outside the commercial mainstream. The guy literally has an album on the way with rapper Little Yachty. And though he may have started in the relatively obscure world of UK bass music more than a decade ago, he now happens to be someone who lives in LA, is ensconced in the major label world, and also happens to be in a long-term relationship with world-famous actress Jamila Jamil. If James Blake is frustrated with the status quo, it's safe to assume that things are becoming positively dire for those acts who sit somewhere further down the industry ladder. So there's been a lot of this. I'm noticing a lot of this. So that's why I wanted to talk about this specifically. James Blake, first of all, talking about AI, which is interesting, something we've talked about before, AI generated music and how it could become.
Something we're kind of obsessed with. We do kind of keep coming back to it.
Yeah. But like he says, you know, touring used to be the only way that people made money. But now it's because of Brexit, Ukraine, rising cost of living, visas increasing. The US visa is increasing from April 1st, so it's going to be prohibitively expensive. I think it's going up from 1,000 to like 3,000 or something like that. And that's a temporary visa. So like all of these, it's becoming more difficult to justify touring for a lot of big acts. And even we've seen acts like Little Sims talk about this in the last year, how it's become prohibitively expensive for artists to tour. You're seeing it probably over, you know, you're looking at your listings and of bands you want to go see. There's a lot of bands who aren't coming to Ireland. A lot of bands who aren't coming to Europe from America, for example. So it is happening. And this is the thing. There's a kind of a tipping point being talked about at the moment. There was a Guardian article called "The Whole Ecosystem is Collapsing Inside the Crisis in Britain's Live Music Scene," which was mostly about, it was Dave Simpson that wrote it. It was mostly about kind of the logistical challenges of running little venues and stuff, but it had an interesting point in here that I hadn't heard of before that I thought it might be worth mentioning. Talking about a government art support or a VAT cut for the hospitality industry, the Music Venue Trust is campaigning for a stadium and arena levy that would see the small portion of a ticket price borne by the venue, the promoter, the agent, the artist, not the fan, go to smaller venues. So this is how the So you, if you're on a major label, one of the big act like Coldplay or whatever helps pay for loads of other acts, emerging acts, but that the risk now is much lower. That's a whole other argument, but there is an argument to be made that some of the bigger arenas and stadiums, the revenue generated from those shows should be going back into the smaller part of the economy. So on a recent arena tour, Enter Shaqiri made a £1 contribution per ticket, as the Music Venue Trust says. If that had been the model everywhere, we'd have raised as much as 28 million and not one venue would have closed. So that's an interesting one. That's kind of like using the money to like a lottery system, almost like generating money for smaller businesses. Obviously how that money is distributed by those venues is another question altogether, because it has to go to the artist ultimately as well. So that is something that I just thought was really interesting. And I've seen a good few articles like that talking about the industry in crisis, the live music industry in crisis. So there's a lot of interesting things going on there. I did want to briefly talk about the Will Hodgson Sunday Times piece from a few weeks ago, because we didn't get to discuss it yet. So one of the quotes in it is, "You can get a Grammy nomination, but you still can't afford to rent a one-bedroom flat in London," said Green Chatton of Fontaines DC. He was quoted in that. So the article is all about like why rock bands are facing hard times. I mean, rock bands is kind of like this classic Sunday newspaper critics byword for music in general. But, you know, it is an interesting one. They talked a lot about how there's a bit of curmudgeonly, and it was like, oh, Liam Gallagher, Gallagher saying, you look at bands today, not one of them would stand up and say anything controversial because they're all worried about getting cancelled. Well, Liam, maybe you should look at Kneecap, take that in. But the thing about this piece that I found really interesting and that became a bit of a storm as well, because basically Will Hodgson had taken a quote out of context from the last dinner party. Now, here's a band who are now massively popular. They were almost marked to be massively popular when they first arrived, so much so that misogynists basically were calling the band industry plants. So there is a quote in that article that says, attributed originally to their bassist, I think it was, "People don't want to listen to post-punk and hear about the cost of living crisis anymore," said Georgia Davies, their bassist. So this is a quote from a different article that was completely taken out of context. And even worse as well, the original quote in the article was actually attributed to, the singer, Abigail Morris. So it says, "People don't want to listen to post-punk and hear about the cost of living crisis anymore," said Abigail Morris. And then it goes on to say, "Having attended the liberal boarding school Beedales, where fees can be £43,000 a year, the cost of living crisis probably isn't a huge issue for Morris." Okay, right. So then that last dinner party had to come out and say, I'll read, first of all, the original article here is what I have the quote from that, but here's what they say. The last dinner party had a bit of a response, said, "I can say with confidence that Abigail has never said the quote that has been attributed to her in the article that's going around. The comment was lifted from an interview we did 6 months ago, removed the context, tone and intention, and has now been shoehorned into a new article about something totally different. The content in which I originally mentioned the cost of living crisis is extremely important, and it's disappointing to us that it's been presented that this way. What was said was in relation to people connecting with theatrical music as a form of escapism from the brutality of our current political climate, which is in a state of national emergency. The speed of our journey as a band and the privilege we have, personally, and as a result of being signed to a major label, has not been lost on us. The venues that gave our careers in this industry are closing at terrifying rates because of rising cost of living and corporate greed. Without these venues, there would be no TLDP, so it is, of course, something we feel extraordinarily passionate about. It's becoming impossible for artists from working class or the marginalised backgrounds to be heard. For the past few months, we've been working on something with the Music Venues Trust to call for protection for independent venues and artists, but more on that another time. I completely understand why people are upset. It would be upset to me to read that, but I want to clarify that Abby did not ever say that and is entirely out of line with what we believe. Love, Georgia," and the rest is TLDP. So that was the bass player then who actually had to respond. It was attributed to her, that actual interview. Interestingly, the interview itself, the actual quote from the original article went like this. "To an extent, the last dinner party are a product of the pandemic. These are people who had what should be their golden years curtailed by lockdown, experiencing seriousness and introspection instead." The quote is, "We talk about this all the time," Davis says. "After we came out of that period, nobody seemed like they were having fun on stage anymore, but we wanted our show to be transcendent and escapist. I understand it. Music was reflecting the I'm so sad mood, but now people want catharsis in a different way. They don't want to listen to post-punk and hear about the cost of living crisis anymore." So now they want an end of the world orgy, Morris says. "That's where we come in." So that was actually the original quote there in that article. I thought there was a lot of interesting back and forth on. It was one of those like Twitter threads where I was like, what's going on here? Yeah. What was said? And because, you know, the article was behind a paywall, I was like, I have to read it. I have to know what's been said. I'm sure you've had that experience, Andrea, where you're like, I don't have a subscription to this newspaper, but I really want to know what's happening.
I was helped out very kindly in the Discord with something related to that over the weekend. So, yeah. I mean, the last dinner party thing, it's one of these things, right, where I do get frustrated with discussions around privilege when it becomes... So first of all, like the first thing is that we've been saying for years that people who have privilege should be using it to speak up for marginalized people. But then when people who have privilege do speak about issues that face themselves, but also face other people from marginalized communities more so, then their privilege gets kind of thrown back in their faces, or they are misquoted, or a quote is misattributed. And then the conversation ends up becoming about how much their boarding school cost and, you know, creating a sort of a villain of the day, instead of being about the actual topic. And so I get really, really frustrated. I mean, either we want people who have privileges to speak, or we don't. We do really have to decide. We saw this same thing with that Sydney Sweeney article that came out kind of like earlier this year or late last year, I can't remember, where she was talking about how she can't afford to take time off. The quote that came out was, Sydney Sweeney can't take a month off because she can't afford it. And yet she has this mansion, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, what she was actually talking about was the fact that actresses can't take maternity leave and that she has to work constantly in order to make money. Is she incredibly privileged? Absolutely she is. But she's talking about a systemic issue. She's not talking about, you know, the woe is me.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with The Last Dinner Party. And we see this over and over and over again. It is exactly the thing that I said earlier. Like, you participate in society and yet you criticize it. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, this is exactly what we want artists to do and to say. There's not only one topic you are allowed to speak about politically. Like, if your thing is that you want venues to stay open and you want more opportunities for younger artists to be able to make it in the industry, then make that your thing. That's fine. Like, not everybody has to speak on everything all the time. So yeah, I get frustrated with, like, you know, the same version of this conversation just coming up over and over and over again. Like, I honestly, when I'm listening to music, I don't give a fuck if they went to a private school. I'm aware, you know, I'm aware that maybe that affords people more privileges than other people, you know, undoubtedly it does. But I haven't seen anything from The Last Dinner Party that suggests to me that they are at all out of touch. In fact, I have, like, the more I looked into this story, the more I saw a band who were really doing their best to be in touch. So it's it's a frustrating
thing.
Well,
I guess to counter that, I guess it's more a case of, like, it's a distribution and diversity of voices and backgrounds that you want in music as well. So that's something to be mindful for. And this is a conversation that's been ongoing since the Beatles. And, you know, I remember when they were talking about, you know, not letting in the UK, not letting artists take the dole and all this kind of stuff. So this has been going on for a long, long time. But the truth of it is, I mean, it is hard for anybody, no matter what background it is, obviously easier if you have a bit of money behind you or somebody to support you, but to make a career in music, it's quite a difficult thing to do these days.
Yep.
And that's why people like James Blake are weighing in on streaming being broken. There's a wider issue at play. A lot of this stuff is just whataboutery reply guys talking about this kind of stuff, giving out about the band, like a band like The Last Dinner Party, when, you know, thousands of people are connecting to their music and their theatricality. There's a huge space for that. I think they're really good at what they do. Similarly, you know, we can also have Kneecap, who are very much on the front line almost of showing.
They're the Last Dinner Party of West Belfast. We can say it. We can coin that term now. You know, they are the Last Dinner Party of Northern Ireland. And I'm sure that they would be delighted with that.
I'm sure they would. But look, there is a lot happening at the moment. I think that is something we will. I wanted to tease it because I think that's something we will definitely return to again.
Absolutely.
About the live music industry in crisis. It seems to be, I mean, it's obviously worse in the UK at the moment because of Brexit and everything else. That has exacerbated everything. And there's no denying that. But that has a knock-on effect for us as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the acts that tour here in Ireland and, you know, whether then now you can include these kind of dates on their European tour and then they stop coming to all these places because they can't afford it. Visas get more difficult. Costs get more prohibitive. Flight cases, all these kind of travel, transport, all these things, you know, energy costs, whatever. All of these things are affecting the live music squeeze at the moment because that means that artists can make less money. So really, you know, there's a lot going on there. So taking it back then to artists traveling to South by Southwest, those are Irish artists traveling to South by Southwest would have a Culture Ireland grant to be enabling them to do that. It is very prohibitively expensive to bring 5-6 people over to Austin, Texas to pay for accommodation and put yourself up and hope that something's going to happen. A lot of the time artists will do tours around those kind of things to make it work for them. So you see Kneecap obviously did a big promotional appearance on US TV. I think they're going to be grand. But it is, you know, it's like if more artists come out and cancel their performances at South by Southwest, as we're seeing, which seems to be increasingly happening, then it's going to be very difficult for, like, it's the artists as well who are really affected by this. You know, it's like I talked about the artists who are, you know, getting refused German gigs or getting their gigs cancelled.
Mm.
this is their only mode of income for a lot of those artists. So, you know, being punished for their political beliefs or for showing, like, necessarily showing solidarity, but having to do that, feeling like they're having to do that when they should just be able to go to a festival that isn't sponsored by a weapons company or something, you know?
Yeah.
You're right. It's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Yeah.
So listen, we just wanted to do a kind of a roundabout check-in of what's going on in music at the moment on this week's episode.
An old-fashioned check-in on the news, like we used to do here on the 909 podcast. A little whistle-stop tour of what's going on.
Yeah, well, Andrea's very busy this week, so we thought we'd focus on...
I am very, very busy this week, yes. I'm off to Copenhagen to present at a conference about Irish music. So the conference isn't about Irish music. I'm presenting on Irish music.
And you're going to be live streaming that on the Patreon, aren't you?
I will not. I am still writing my paper, hence us recording at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. So, yeah, wish me luck.
That's where the magic happens, everybody.
Yep.
Welcome. You made it this far.
Mm.
All right. Well, that's it from us this week.
And
we'll
congratulations to Cillian Murphy, our dear friend of the show. Cillian Murphy, up Cork.
I have met an Oscar winner.
You've met him.
It is true.
I saw an Oscar winner on Grafton Street once and was so blown away by his beauty that I couldn't say anything to him and was flustered for about 15 minutes afterwards.
That's all right. You didn't have to say anything.
And his name was Daniel Day-Lewis. No, it was Cillian Murphy. Yeah. Up Cork.
All right. Patreon.com/909 You want to support us directly. We always appreciate that. Access to the Discord, where a lot of people are gathered talking about Irish music and, well, music in general, really. Mm-hmm. And football and books and Taskmaster still going strong, it seems, there. And books that they're reading and music that's happening and gigs that they're at, including The Choice. A few of us were at The Choice last week. So, yeah, all good from us. Thanks a million for joining the 909 podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.